We're going to hear now from another woman who works to turn young Muslims away from extremism. Farah Pandith is a senior fellow with Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and the U.S. State Department's former special representative to Muslim communities. She's traveled to dozens of countries to speak directly to young Muslims.
So, Marco, let's remember that we're talking about a billion Muslims around the world under the age of 30 who have seen since 9/11 the word Islam or Muslim on the front pages of papers online and offline. Digital natives who are connected digitally with a swish of their finger online. Ideas that they hear in one part of the world and they think about and see in one part of the world ricochet around the world. So this generation has been drawn to ask questions that their parents' generation and their grandparents' generation may have asked about what it means to be modern and Muslim or what the difference is between culture and religion. But they haven't had instantaneous answers in the same way. Sheikh Google is the answer that is provided for them. And the loudest voices, the most easily available voices, are those of the extremists. And so you see a very different dimension to this issue of young people, these millennial Muslims around the world facing a crisis of identity in a modern era.
Did you call Google Sheikh Google?
I did. I called it Sheikh Google.
Is that your line, or are there kids who say that?
Well, I'll tell you, it was sort of said tongue-in-cheek when I was at the Department of State, as I began to keep hearing from kid after kid that where they go for answers are not the traditional places that you would have expected. They're going to where any young person around the world goes to, and that's the internet. They seek answers in the spaces that young people go to. Their influencers are their peer group. So I have seen this happen all over the world. And when I say shake Google, it's because from Google and other social platforms, let's be really clear, it's not just Google, it's all kinds of social platforms out there, whether it's Tumblr, whether it is Twitter, whether it is Facebook or YouTube, you're hearing a conversation among Muslim millennials that is very profound and very important for us to understand, because the peer-to-peer conversation about what they need to do as they navigate their identity comes from their peers in a social and a digital format.
So tell us how a group like ISIS takes advantage of this kind of presence of these young people on the internet. Give us some examples.
Well, it is very clear that you cannot have armies if you do not have recruits. And in order to recruit a young person to come join their so-called caliphate, they need to make it very user-friendly. They need to make it easy for a young person to navigate the social and digital space. They need to have imagery and a narrative that speaks to a millennial generation in a capacity and in a context that makes sense for these young people, just the way an advertiser is advertising to a 16-year-old in a way that makes sense for them. In fact, if you look back at sort of some of the old techniques of how people have lured in others to join gangs or join extremist groups, they've used one-on-one interventions. And that's exactly what ISIS and others are doing. They have the time, they have the capacity, they have the context of young people recruiting young people in language, in culturally appropriate jargon with imagery that makes sense for that millennial generation. And that's really important, because that's how you pull people in.
How do you fight that? How do you counter it? I mean, as the ad people will tell you, you don't say, don't buy that deodorant, buy this deodorant.
But you have to remember that when we talk about ISIS as being skilled, their tools are no different from the tools that we have. They are using the exact same platforms and the exact same techniques that we have available to us. So how do you counter it? First, you do the same types of things, but you're using influencers that are pushing back on their analysis and the way in which they're looking at things by peer-friendly, credible, organic voices that make sense for the communities of young people that are being sympathetic or being persuaded or being lured in that direction. And you do it in a medium that makes sense, but you do it at scale, Marco. That's the difference. You can't just have one one-off campaign somewhere in the world and say, we tried to do this. We, as non-ISIS, have yet to try to do this in a way that is competitive, that is as vibrant and as determined as ISIS is. If we began to fight the fight at the same pace and in the same manner as ISIS, we would overtake them. But we have not even gotten into the game.
Have you seen models of your approach at work?
We have seen in the last few years more Americans looking at this issue of radicalization than ever before. I think you've seen a change in the game, and I think it's based on many things. But Americans themselves are asking questions that you're asking, Marco. How can we do this better, and how can we protect our youth? So in very small pockets, you've seen community groups, interfaith groups, as well as Muslim groups begin to think about how to educate parents so they understand that their kids could be at risk because those are the groups from which ISIS, you know, recruits. You also have seen more education programs, learning about what ISIS is doing in others. But you haven't seen things at scale in the way they need to happen here in the United States to really make people understand that there's more that they can be doing to protect their young kids from this online recruitment.
Farah Pandith is a senior fellow with Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Great to speak with you. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, Marco. Thank you.